This is the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm your host, master coach, and emotional resiliency expert, Lisa Carpenter. I'm here to be your guide through real, raw conversations, navigating life as a high achiever. This show covers what it takes to create physical and emotional well-being, along with how to honor and partner with your body. I'm here to guide you to a connected relationship with yourself, turning self-care into a way of being and not just another task on your to-do list. After all, the things we love, we take care of. This podcast gives you permission to love what you do, but love yourself more. Welcome to the Full Frontal Living Podcast. Well, hey, hey, listener, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Full Frontal Living Podcast. And this is a bonus episode that I'm putting out where I really want to speak from my heart, and we're going to have an honest conversation. I had scheduled a podcast interview with my good friend, Emily Ahrens, who Emily is an intuitive healer and psychic business coach, and she's actually best known as a spiritual guide for getting out of overwhelm and into alignment with your business. And she really helps her clients on this healing journey of clearing and releasing blocks so they can step into their power as entrepreneurs. And she's also the host of the Aligned and Unstoppable podcast. So we had scheduled this interview to chat, and because I wanted to share her with my community. And of course, you know, over this past weekend, a lot has transpired in the world. So we have a very honest conversation as two privileged white women about what we're experiencing. And my hope is that you will lean into the conversation and be open and willing and curious about the role that you're playing in what's going on. So first, I want to say that I am completely unqualified to talk about any of this. And I have spent, you know, the past 3 days researching, reading, and listening. And not listening to react, not listening to respond, but listening to understand. And that's what I'm really asking you to do, is listen to understand. Because the world is so calling on us in 2020 to do better. And it's so easy to walk around saying, well, I'm not part of the problem. I'm not racist. And I had to look very deeply at what am I not seeing? Like, if this problem exists in the world, what am I not seeing in myself? What am I looking away from? And this has not been easy. This work is not easy. It takes courage to look within yourself and admit that there are things that are not okay. What does it mean to be living from a place of privilege? And how have I not been supporting people of color, people of different ethnicities? You know, I live in Canada, on the west coast of Canada, and we have so many different ethnicities here, and it's unbelievable. And what am I not seeing? And how am I doing myself and my family a disservice by saying, well, everybody is the same and everybody is equal, when that simply is not true? I am not helping by being colorblind in the world. And that was hard to understand, because I thought that was the right thing, to teach my children to treat everybody equally. And yes, we need to treat everybody equally, but the reality is we're not treated equally. I've never been in fear of my life when a police officer has approached my car, ever. I haven't had to educate my children about how to talk to law enforcement, how to stay alive. So So what I'm asking you is when you're done listening to this episode, to please go to the show notes and to take a look at the resources and the leaders that I've put in the show notes that you can follow, because I am not the one to learn from. So although this comes from such good intentions, right? This comes from my heart. I'm doing the best I can with what I know today and how I can help today and caring deeply, but I am not the person to educate you on this. And I know that you need to educate yourself. We all need to educate ourselves, and we need to stop telling ourselves that we know enough. We don't know. Part of the work I do with my clients is helping them to see the things that are holding them back in their lives, that are holding them back from taking better care of themselves, because they don't see it. So is it then not possible that you are also not seeing things in other areas of your life, including how you view racism? My community and the space that I hold, I want it to be a safe place for everybody. Community and connection and intimacy are some of my top values. And I want you to know, if you are a person of color or a different racial ethnicity, and you have something you need to say or you need to be heard, please reach out. I am open. I am willing. I am curious. I want to understand and I want to hear more so that I can learn and grow as a human. And I want to see the world change. That's why I do this work. And I'm so passionate about making sure that all women are able to get out in the world and do their work. And I want to support women, all women, all women. I want all women to have an opportunity. But right now, more than ever, it's the people of color that need to be heard. It's the people of color who need to be given opportunities that they haven't had, and how can I play a bigger role in making that happen? What can I put my financial resources behind? What can I put my time behind? How can I make sure that I'm opening my doors and my heart in a way that supports that? So, on that note, head into this conversation with Emily and I. Feels vulnerable to post, because the truth of the matter is being a leader right now is vulnerable, because I'm probably going to say some of the wrong things and probably going to misstep, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because I know that everything is happening for me to learn and so that I can grow, and I'm willing, right? I'm willing to get in the mess. I'm willing to be uncomfortable so that we can create real change in the world. And I hope you are with me and willing to do the same. So enjoy the interview. Pop into my DMs in Instagram or on Facebook. And please make sure you head over to the show notes and go and follow some of these people. Not just to follow them, not just as a feather in your cap. Commit to actually doing the work. Commit to actually reading the books. Commit to taking a hard look at yourself. Commit to change within you first, because that's where it has to start. We have to start taking more of a stand, but we have to realize that until we see these blind spots that we have, nothing's going to change. Enjoy the episode, and I'll see you next week. Well, hey, hey, Full Frontal Living listeners. I am here with my good friend and colleague, Emily Ahrens, and we are recording this in real time. It's Monday, June 1st. I don't know what is going on in the world. I don't know what is going on in 2020, but Emily and I had scheduled her to come on the podcast so that we could talk about intuition. And with everything that is going on right now, we are both in the feels of it, being, I'm just going to say it, privileged white women. And I know for me, feeling slightly helpless and overwhelmed with everything that's going on in the world. So we are going to talk about intuition, but as it pertains to what is kind of going on in the world today. And we're just going to have an open and honest conversation about where we're both at and share with you how we're stepping into taking responsibility for our role and encouraging any of you who's listening to perhaps look at your own stories and to acknowledge what you're feeling, because this is a lot. We've gone from COVID, which was filled with layers of grief and newness, into scenes that are really hard to describe. And even for me, Emily, you know, I'm in Canada, you're in the States, mm-hmm. and it would be so easy for me to say, well, I'm in Canada and it's different here. And it is different here. It is, and it's not.
I have heard.
Right? Racism is racism.
Healthcare
is different. Yes. We are incredibly multicultural. I think multiculturalism was actually a Canadian term. It was coined by Canadians. If I'm not incorrect, but I could be totally incorrect. We have great diversity here. And even within that, there's still racism. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. I think what we're seeing more than ever before is like borders are bullshit, right? So we can pretend like we're in our safe little bubble of our country, but borders are really kind of bullshit. So before we dive into all of this, go ahead and introduce yourself to my listeners, share what you do and how you do it, and so they can get to know your magic.
Thank you, Lisa. And it's an honor to be here. It's a privilege to be here. And I love how, you know, when we chat privately about, let's be on each other's podcast, and it just sort of divinely is time for when we need to get together and the topics we need to speak about. And that's part of trusting the intuitive messages, is that's the number one thing people don't do, is they don't trust the messages that are coming through and the things that are right in front of them. And I'll share a personal story that happened yesterday. But who am I? I'm sort of known as a psychic business coach. And what that means, so I've been doing intuitive work, I've been doing healing work, I'm trained, I've spent countless, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of hours in training doing energy healing. And I use energy healing as a business coach to clear and remove blocks in my clients so that they can actually manifest the life and the business that they're after. And I'm sure, as anything you guys know from being around Lisa, it's like, yeah, sure, I want these big breakthrough goals, but you get down from that surface level BS and you get down to the root of, why am I not allowing myself this joy, this freedom, this love, this prosperity, this body, whatever it is that you're just not ever getting to. And doing the work with Lisa, doing the work with me, is like, you're getting to the root of what is blocking that thing, and addressing that and healing it, you can be free from it and actually actualize the things that you desire. So that's what I do in a nutshell, is I help people with that process. I help entrepreneurs turn on their intuition through a lot of different methods, but primarily through meditation. And it's my favorite thing to talk about as far as how to unlock your intuition, is to use meditation, even just for 1 minute every single day. But and I guess I'll just dive kind of into my story. I mean, my story is vast, is that I've been classically trained for a long time doing energy healing, but I haven't always done energy healing. I've been in doing different jobs, but in my business, and I've been doing for the last almost 5 years, I work with entrepreneurs who are looking to move forward in their business, get an alignment, open up their intuition. Jam up anytime. That kind of leads me to my story from yesterday, which I was just sharing with Lisa, in that I have a membership. And what I do in that membership is I channel the energy forecast that needs to come in this month, so that you can sort of take that wisdom and stay in alignment using that each and every day throughout the month. And I do it every single month. And when I sat down yesterday to channel this energy, what actually came through was deep sadness and pain and grief and all this heavy, heavy stuff, which as I'm feeling it, my stomach is turning, I feel sick. And at the same time, I'm also like blatantly aware that this is like so nothing compared to what millions of people have endured for a very long time. I'm just barely tapping into it, like barely. And it's uncomfortable and it stings. And so my ego was saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're feeling a lot of that right now, but you know, you can just package this up. We'll just get back to this energy forecast and we'll package up a nice meditation for everybody for tomorrow. And I just let that sit. And I kind of was like, I'm leaving this, but this is what it is. This is the work. This is called, I sat down to open up. And for the first time all week, I felt something. And we often stay busy instead of feeling things, or we, we indulge in too much Netflix or too much food or too much alcohol or whatever the hell it is to numb ourselves so that we don't have to feel. And I actually felt pretty crappy all week. I went outside and the only thing that made me feel better was being outside with my kids, and I didn't work and I didn't really log on to social media. But when I actually sat down and I felt, that's when everything just opened up and I realized my responsibility as a leader and especially as a light worker. And one of the terms that I use a lot is light worker. And I define a light worker as anyone who is here to shine their light so that other people can shine theirs too. So if you're here as a business owner and you do something that helps somebody else better themselves or their life, that's what I consider a light worker. So how can I be a light worker and not shine my light in all the depths of darkness that is coming up to the surface right now?
It's hard right now, I will say. You know, I am definitely feeling all the feels and getting very loud messages around not turning away. Because, you know, I'm pretty unapologetic about the fact that I don't watch the news, right? Like, I'm very cautious around what I allow into my sphere of influence, so to speak, because I think we have to be responsible for that. And I know that I am deeply empathetic, which means I can feel all the feels. And it's important that I feel what I'm feeling. And it's also important that I manage my energy around that, because I do remember, and, you know, this was way before I started the work on myself, when 9/11 hit, I spent hours and hours in front of the TV because I thought, wow, how lucky am I that I can just turn away from this? You know, so I felt obligated to sit and watch all of it over and over and over again. And it really sunk me into a deep depression. And it's fascinating now, because I think maybe I've talked about this on a previous episode, but I was pregnant with my son at the time. And I see, it's just curious to watch how that energy that I was absorbing has affected him as, you know, as an adult. And now, again, it's this part of me that wants to turn away and knows that I can't turn away. And how am I going to navigate this differently? And of course, now being in a position of leadership and fully acknowledging that I have no, like, I did not get a manual on how to lead through COVID. I did not get a manual on how to lead through this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm having to have different conversations with my kids. I'm having to have different conversations with myself. I'm having to look at parts of myself that I didn't know was there, or I just didn't want to acknowledge because I'm just going to live in my little, you know, bubble. And I'm in so many communities where we talk about keeping our vibration high, right? And I do believe in managing our energy, but we can't use being high vibe as an excuse to turn away from our responsibility and role we play in this. So if everything in the world is happening for us, that means we are playing a role. So what can I learn from this? How can I educate myself? So I spent a good part of yesterday watching other, you know, colored leaders and their viewpoints, listening, looking up resources, which, you know, Emily and I are going to provide you guys with a whole bunch of different resources in the show notes. I'll put them all together there for you if you're looking for a place to go. But, you know, I wanted to have this conversation with you because I think it's so important that we don't turn away. But how do we lean into these conversations without losing ourselves? Mm-hmm. Right? Without losing ourselves in our emotions. How do we pull ourselves, you know, feel it, be with the sadness, be with the grief, and also still look for the gratitude and be part of the change?
Well, honestly, it's, I used to do the same thing where I'm so empathic too, and I couldn't watch the news, and I still don't really watch the news, but I stay informed listening to NPR or catching like headlines and just being aware of what's going on. Because what I used to do is just look away and bury my head in the sand and not pay attention. And I noticed, especially after President Trump was elected, I just was like, gah! Like it hurt on such a deep level. And not that I think Hillary Clinton was going to be that much better, but it just hurt. And it hit. And so one of my good friends, she's an astrologer, and she's like the wooist of the woo. And she has been the one in the last year to really hold me accountable to making sure that I stay in tune with what's actually happening. I stay awake and I pay attention to what's going on in the world around us and politically. Like, she has a very strong political stance, and she hasn't really made it known so much, but she's starting to, and she's starting to let people know that she wants them to vote, and she's using her influence to speak out against racism and in to help protect people of color and to say, you know, this is injustice and we have to change something. And yesterday, you know, as I was processing all of this, I kept thinking, like, God, like, I need to do something. I just need to do something. And I said that to my husband, like, I can't just like donate money and like make a social post. Like, that's fine, but I need to do something. And I don't know, moments after I was saying that to him, one of my dear friends and clients reached out to me, and she's a Black woman. And she's like, where were you? Why haven't you reached out? And called me out, and called me out with a group of people who are in a mastermind of mine. And I called her, I immediately called her. And I said, you know what? I'm sorry. That is wrong. And I'm ashamed of that. And I can't count, like, at least a half a dozen times I have started to text you and deleted everything that I wrote because I thought it was wrong. It wasn't sensitive enough. It was too white. It was too white privilege. And like, I don't get her. So how dare I even reach out and connect with her? And she said something. First of all, she was very understanding. We had a very long conversation, and we have continued to have this dialogue within my community, within my group, especially within the small group. But she said to me, she made it very simple. It's like, you know what? You might have a friend whose grandmother passes away, and you might not have the right words for her, but just saying, I'm thinking about you and I'm so sorry, it goes a long way. That's all you have to do. I'm not asking for anything else. And no one is asking for anything else. And that really hit me. And I'm like, you're right. And I realized also in that moment, like, I don't think I've ever had this conversation with any of my Black friends. And so I took it upon myself to start reaching out to my friends of color and saying, are you okay? Are you okay? And having those conversations and opening up, and some of, like, and even my brother-in-law, he was like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm good. We're just potty training over here. I'm like, but are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm good. But, and I had other friends, like one of my girlfriends who said she's been crying all week, and she's in the Netherlands. Like, she's not even in the United States. And she's like, this is affecting me and my daughter. Like, she's like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what, it's hard and navigating through that. And so, as a white privileged woman, I'm becoming awake and aware of all of my white privilege. Like you said, of like 9/11, like turn it off. Well, no, I'm not going to turn off. Well, how can you stay aware of what's going on and not like succumb to feeling all of those things? And I think it's complicated, and it's not safe for everyone to just dive in and start watching everything and reading everything. I think that'd be irresponsible for me to tell people just like, don't look away ever. But to be aware of what's going on. And, you know, speaking to other white coaches or other white leaders, I think it's our job to educate ourselves. It's not the job of our Black friends or our Black community to educate us. It is our responsibility. And I've started to do that. I know Lisa started to do that. And that's what helps us to get the words right. That's what helps us to get the emotions, like, kind of like understand and comprehend and process. But it's not right for us to process those feelings of like, what the hell, and ask our Black friends to help us through that. That's just not fair. They're going through so much more, and they've been going through so much more.
I agree. And there's no, you know, I think what I'm learning is there's no right way to do this. You just have to have the courage to lean in and try, and it's going to be messy. And, you know, I've watched a lot of people post online, well, I don't know what to say, so I'm going to say this and I'm posting this, and that's all well and good. And I also want to give everybody permission that you don't necessarily have to be posting on social media to be doing your work.
Right.
You know, like, you can still be an ally and an advocate without having to scream your message online. It's about, for me, it's about everybody committing to doing their own work and educating themselves around this. And how can you be a better leader and an advocate and an ally in whatever capacity that looks like for you? Because the last thing we need now is to get into shaming each other because we're not doing it right, shaming ourselves because we feel like we're not doing it right, and getting into overwhelm. Right. So there's a lot of different resources and such out there around talking to our kids and educating ourselves. Like, I'm going to be watching a webinar today that was put on by a coach by the name of Trudy LeBron, educating white coaches on how we can be showing up better. I have no idea what to expect from this webinar. I'm just going to show up and I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen. I'm going to take it in. I'm reading a book. I downloaded a book about white fragility and really leaning in to that. And I have reached out to some of my friends of color and just said, I don't know what to say, but I'm thinking of you. And that really does go a long way. Even if it feels awkward and uncomfortable, it's my way of leaning into a hard conversation and trying to do my best when I don't even know if this is a good job or a shitty job or what, but wanting so desperately to be part of a change that feels so massive.
Yeah.
Right? It's so easy for me to go into that place of, how can I possibly make a difference? One person, you know, even having this conversation on a podcast, you know, if one person listens and is willing to have the courage to explore and be curious about their views, because I think so many of us say, oh, well, I'm not racist, and I would never call myself racist. But what I'm learning is that there's a lot about myself that I don't know. There's a lot of things about racism that doesn't necessarily look like racism. You know, I think one of the things that I heard the other day that really moved me was the dialogue that people of color, at least in the United States — I don't believe this happens as much in Canada, but I could be totally, totally wrong — but the dialogue that they have to have with police when they're pulled over, whereas that is never, ever, ever occurred to me. Never. I'm never in fear of my life when I'm pulled over. I'm in fear of another speeding ticket, but I'm never in fear of my life.
Well, and that's something that my friend had brought up to my attention too, of saying, like, we were supposed to be on a retreat in Sedona together. What if we all got pulled over? Would you guys have my back? And you didn't reach out to me to see if I was okay. Would you have had my back? And I think that's a fully valid point.
Yeah, of course
we would. Like, of course. But also, we're not taking the actions to make sure we have her back right now, and to stand up as her white shield, protect her and protect her little babies. And racism is so deep and it's so complex. And even my husband was like, what are you going to do? Really?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm not trying to be like starting some massive movement, but I will not be a part of the problem. Yeah. That's it. That's literally it. I don't think I'm special. I don't think my words are that insightful. I don't think that it's going to cause that much more healing, but I do know I'm trying, and I do know I'm not adding to the problem. Yeah. And when people are marginalized, when they're treated differently, in any circumstances, we have to stand up against that. And as business owners, you know, we have to make sure we have people on our teams, people on our podcasts, people on our summits, investing in other people's courses, people of color, Black women. I mean, my business is all women. Like, it's a full on, we're all women. It's international, it's interracial. But we still don't have any Black women on my team. This is a calling. Like, hey, we maybe have an open position for the right woman, not just because you're Black, but for the right person. But we do have to feel these things. And this is all part of, it does come back to using intuition too, because when we look at those like posts that are like just checking boxes to just say like, you feel it. Like you feel it.
I can't even, like, I think I've been more upset with that. Yeah. Because I just feel like it, and again, you know, I don't want to get into judgment. I know everybody is doing their best, but it's just like, can we all just pause? There's so much power in I don't even know what I want to say here, but it's being an advocate has to go far beyond just a Facebook post. It really has to be a commitment to the conversations. Like, I don't care what you're posting on Facebook as much as I care about the conversations you're having with your kids. And I mean, even that in this household, you know, because we've always taught this, you know, everybody is equal. You know, my son trying to explain to my 8-year-old, because he really, like, kids don't get it. They don't see color, which is great that they don't see color.
Well, they see the color, but they don't see why it's
they don't make it. Yeah. They don't make any meaning around it. And what I didn't realize as a parent is it's not healthy for me to promote colorblindness. I need to actually teach my kids that people of color and in different cultures, they're not treated the same and they are seen as different, and that it's not okay that they're seen as different, but they are seen as different. So the way that this coach, and I wish I could remember her name because I was like captivated by her, what she put out on Facebook. She's like, you know, you would teach your children if somebody was in a wheelchair, how they could be more compassionate around the person being in a wheelchair, not ask the person in the wheelchair to get up and run. You know, she's
open the door for them. Yeah.
Right. She's like, I need you guys to teach your kids that their friends of color or different nationalities need their support because they are not seen as equal, because they are not white. Like, that's just the reality. And I was so taken aback by that. I'd never seen it through that perspective, because I thought that would be, you know, by teaching my kids to see color, that would be teaching them about racism. But it's not. In fact, it's about teaching them that people aren't treated differently, and how can they show up for others in a way that really supports them. You know, it's like they're not different and they're different at the same time. It's a very it's just a very layered conversation. And let me tell you, trying to have that with an 8-year-old when I'm trying to figure it out too. Fascinating and messy.
And I think part of it is, yes, number one is educating ourselves and listening. Because it's important that we listen to what other people are going through, what they're feeling, how they're processing, and not everyone's going to be negatively impacted. I mean, even like authors who are saying, look, I'm like the author of the book I'm reading, Me and White Supremacy. She's like, I haven't had this happen, but yet I grew up in a household. My mom said, you know what? You're Black and this, it's not right. Exactly what she said, like, it's not right, but this is how you might be treated. And so I think this podcast is really primarily geared towards white listeners, and so that we can start to do something. And, you know, I'm looking at the different facets of my life, my business, my personal, like how I speak to myself, how I view things, but then also like my world and how can I invite this into my world more. And one of the things that I really am excited about doing is opening up my backyard farm to inner city kids who may have never had the experience to being in dirt and watching chickens and ducks run around and seeing plants being planted and all that stuff. And it's like, this is one small minute thing that we can do to just bring that in and be a mentor and be a peer and be a protector of young people. I do have a list of people who are interested. I have a list of things that I just shared this morning, of things that you can do right now. If you're feeling a little bit like lost, and they're simple, writing to your local government or people who are leadership positions in communities and asking why people who are Black or people of color are not hired or in positions of power, letting your local police know that you're not going to tolerate any kind of racial injustices. Participating in peaceful protests, which I know we had sort of talked about how peaceful protests have kind of led into some looting and like horrible things. And also realizing like people who are looting are in so much pain. This is an expression doesn't okay. It's not okay.
Well, and I think I think the looters are such a small population and I don't think that they are necessarily people of color. Can we just say that white people can be total
for sure
assholes too, right? Like I
absolutely
see that some people take these peaceful protests as a way of running their own agenda. And I think people need to be aware of this. People are in a lot of pain and a lot of grief, not to mention everybody's coming off of being in self-isolation for how many months, which is so hard on our emotional well-being. Like there's so many layers to this.
For sure. I mean, we're still in isolation here where I am. And this pandemic has put so much pressure and so much stress on so many people in so many places all over the world. I mean, I know for me, I feel fortunate in that my business hasn't been negatively impacted. My husband's has, he's a plumber. Like things are not the way they used to be. But for me, online business, helping people with meditation and mindfulness, like things are good. People need this right now. Yeah. But not everybody's like that. And even like we notice in our customer service, like people are angry about stuff that they wouldn't normally be so hostile about. And my team and I've had multiple conversations, like how can we be really empathetic and understanding and also kind of have a boundary against like what we're going to, how we can help them.
Yeah, I was going to say when people are in pain or in shame, they behave badly.
Yeah.
All emotion is going to get expressed. And when people don't know how to tune in and feel their feelings responsibly, which let's face it, most people don't, they don't have that emotional fluency. They're going to get into poor behavior because it's the only way to get their emotions to move. They don't know how to be present with their emotions in a healthy way. So I always remind myself when somebody is behaving badly, it really has nothing to do with me. And it has everything to do with where they're at. And the best thing that I can do is stay in a place of compassion. That doesn't mean I don't have boundaries. It doesn't mean I let people walk all over me. But I can see everybody with compassion because I know that, you know, the saying is hurt people hurt people. So I know it's not just coming from nowhere. I like to believe that I don't know a whole lot of, you know, psychopaths, sociopaths, right? We're all good people. We're just all trying to do our best. And sometimes our best is shitty because we don't know any better.
Yeah. And I have more of action items. I did do in terms of feeling this morning I did do a meditation and sort of held space for everyone to just pause and to just feel. And, you know, it is worthwhile to do that for yourself. And whether you pause this podcast or you do it after, it's important to feel your emotional feelings and also notice where you resonate in your physical body. Our body is always keeping track of what's going on. And you might notice weird pains and unusual spots that also happen to correspond with energy centers that are in charge of things like grief, sadness, but also like your power or your inability to move forward in the world or project or receive love. Like, there's no coincidences. And again, from doing energy healing for so long, you know, people kind of, if I start talking to one person about like different pain places and everybody starts to go, well, I have pain in the shoulder. What does that mean? Because it's this fun little game that we like to play with Emily to say, what does my pain mean about me? But I joke, but I do mean it seriously and sincerely, where when you do get quiet, I would say close your eyes and feel whatever's coming up. And then maybe do a scan of your physical body and notice where it's landing. Where does it resonate? Where is it holding? Where's their tightness, tension, heaviness, density? Sometimes it's tingly, sometimes it's numb. There's all sorts of different sensations that you might feel. And then I would invite you to breathe space into those places or just call on what does it need right now to feel healed, to feel released, to feel whatever you need. Your intuition will guide you and you just have to trust that whatever's coming in is exactly what you need. Sometimes it's a color, sometimes it's a shape, sometimes it's a message, sometimes it's an animal. It's not for you to judge, but just know that if you're open enough to get quiet and feel, and then open enough to want to heal that thing and transmute that energy, because energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It only changes form. So if you have pain and tightness in your system and you're like, oh, I gotta get this out. Yeah, you can get it out and let it out with love and light. And allow that healing to come in. So it's like you're just changing the form of the energy from something that was pulling and blocking your energy to something that is actually healing and feeling really nourishing for your system.
I agree. So, you know, if you're listening to this, which obviously you are, that was kind of an obvious statement. You know, a lot of my listeners are high functioning women, although they don't like to admit that they're high functioning women. They're high functioning women. They're overdoers. And when shit hits the fan, they get busy. And I really want to encourage each of you to just pause. And it's okay to sink into a puddle of tears if you need to. It's healthy for you. Let the energy move, because otherwise it's going to stay in your body and be toxic. Know what it is that you need to give yourself to feel better. You know, I always feel when I need to cry, it goes into my throat. And it goes into my throat because one of the ways I process my energy is by talking. That's why it's so perfect that we're having this conversation, because I need to express myself through my words. That's how I find peace. That's how I, you know, sometimes it's writing. But I can always tell when I'm feeling something deeply and I don't want to cry, because it literally feels like somebody's wrapped their hands around my neck. And everybody's got a place where their emotions are going to hit them when they don't want to feel it. The problem is if you're so busy trying to outrun them, you're not tuning into the wisdom of your body. And nothing bad is going to happen if you give yourself over to the sadness. You will stop crying. I know that was a thing for me for a long time. If I start crying, I'm never going to stop. If I start feeling, I'm never going to be able to feel happy again. But that's not the truth. You just have to keep allowing your emotions to move through you and allow yourself to receive the healing from the universe and to ask for guidance, right? If you don't know, ask, what can I do to help? Right? That's what this conversation is all about. What can we do to help? If this episode gets into the ears of one person who's like, well, shit, I think I better read a book, or I better go listen to a podcast, or I better go listen to the coach I was talking about. Her name is Nicole Walters. She's an online entrepreneur.
Oh, she's great. Yeah.
She's amazing. I wasn't really familiar with her, and her message was so amazing. Just look up one of these resources, just you doing one thing, taking action on one thing, and knowing you can care for yourself through this messiness of not knowing. That matters. So
it does. I was reading a book called another real light weekend read, Patriarchy Stress Disorder.
Good Lord.
I highly recommend all of your high functioning, successful women to read that. Because she does go into what embodiment is and her own issues with embodiment, her own disconnection. And even the first time she tried yoga, how she like ran out of the room, like she couldn't do it. She couldn't get into her body. And I remember when I first rolled out my yoga mat, it was like home. It felt like I finally came home. And I mean, this is from somebody who I've moved around a lot in my life. And it was like this visceral, I mean, I say it and my body tingles. And it's different for everybody to do yoga. Maybe it's lifting, but whatever it is, you're in your body and you're feeling it. But yeah, that book is really, like really significant as well, because also she goes into, and I'm probably going to butcher it, so please don't fact check me, but she goes into this study with lab rats showing about how we inherit the trauma from our ancestors. And these lab rats were exposed, now this is where things get a little hairy, there is a lab rat that is exposed to a specific flavor, and when they taste that thing, or I think maybe smell, whatever the sense is, they get a heavy electric shock, and to the point where they killed these rats. Well, their rats had babies, and then those babies had babies, and it showed up in the grandchildren and the great grandchildren from that rat being sensitive to that stimulus and feeling an aversion from it, pushing away, going away from it. And that's crazy. So if we think of how this affects racism, think about what people have been enduring for generations and their ancestors. And then you think of like our own ancestors, like this is lineage that has been repeating, and it's in our physical body, it's in our DNA. And it's again, our responsibility to heal this now so we don't continue to repeat it. And we can be a good ancestor to not pass down this trait to our generation.
And I believe that 100%, this generational trauma that keeps being passed along, but knowing that we can break the cycle and it is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. So even though we've all been exposed to generational trauma, that doesn't mean that that is our future.
Right.
We have an opportunity right now to rewire that. And, mm-hmm. you know, even with COVID, looking at the impact on the world just from everybody pausing, the environmental data that we're going to get that shows us the impact that we can have just by not driving our cars as much and not, you know, just the simplest things have had such a profound impact. So
2020, everything is being broken down. Like, this is a year of transformation. It's going to be what happened before 2020, what happened after. I mean, our institutions are all crumbling.
It is. This is like a year. Like I said to my sons, you guys may not realize it right now, but you are living history. There will be, you know, because my kids, when I think about this, and then we'll start to wrap up. When we go to the airport and they take off their shoes and their belts, they have no idea why. Like they just, it's just what you do.
Right.
I am reminded every time, 9/11, still taking our shoes off. Has anybody even questioned this? So really looking at what is going to be different moving forward. And I see it's not just about what's going on with COVID. It's what's going on with the colored people around the world. And I really, 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 really hope that we profoundly change how we are moving forward. I don't know what that looks like, but time will show us. But I think that this is something that is going to be at the forefront for a while, because we're not going to change it in the month of June 2020.
Right.
But if more and more people are getting themselves educated around it and we are becoming less tolerant of these things. And with every generation, I love to believe that with every generation, there's more light being brought into the world.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope
and so. I have to say, if you're one of the type of people who you don't get political, but you did post about coronavirus, about pivoting or what possibility there are, like, if you posted about coronavirus, you could probably post about racism.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to do that.
Do
and not everybody has the platforms that we have. Not everybody's being looked at with an expectation like, are you with us or are you not? But I do think there's enough, if you're on any social platforms, something.
Do your best. Do your best. Do your best to be an ally. And if you don't know how to do that, link arms with me, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing either. And I'm just trying to figure it out. So in the show notes, we will put together a whole list of resources from, you know, Trudy LeBron's webinar that she's just run for white coaches, to Nicole Walters, IGTV, to the books that we've referenced before we went live with this. Emily had mentioned antiracismforbeginners.com as a great resource. I've got resources for children's books, so how to speak to your kids about it. And I think, you know, the most important thing is that we just are willing to have the courage to have the conversation, even if we screw it up, because honestly, I don't think we could do any worse than what we've been doing. Right? Like, I like to believe we can't go backwards. So let's do our best to make it better moving forward. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today in this impromptu conversation that we had not planned on having, but is perfect the way it is. Where can everybody find you, Emily, so that they can tune into your magical wisdom?
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. And it's perfect. It's all divinely orchestrated, right? So emilyarons.com is sort of like the main hub where you can find everything about me. I'm at Emily Arons on Instagram. And I, of course, love to hear from you. So if you're listening and you want to take a screenshot and tag me or have a conversation in DM, I would love that. Emily Arons Holistic on Facebook. And of course, the Aligned and Unstoppable podcast. And Lisa was a guest. So maybe we should link up your episode so people can hear their favorite person. I love, you know, connections. So if you guys are listening and you do connect, I would invite you to my free group or my podcast, or even just DM me on Instagram. I would love to just stay connected. And thank you, Lisa, for having this tough conversation.
I'm so glad you were here to have this with me, because I honestly didn't know how I was going to muddle through this on my own. And because I am such a verbal processor, it's so much easier to have a conversation with someone and just let everything come out. So I really do hope you guys take the opportunity to go follow Emily, because she really is such a bright light in this world. She was one of the first people that I I felt called to reach out to her because of a meditation she had. And we just kind of became friends. So I appreciate you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And wishing you and your family that you stay safe and sound. And we'll have you back on the podcast again in the future, because I know my audience going to love you. So
yeah, we'll talk about other woo stuff too in another podcast. I'm happy
exactly.
To do that. Thanks for all the listeners.
when the timing is right to go down that road. So thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Full Frontal Living podcast. Make sure you take good care of you. Even with everything that's going on, there's still space to make you a priority. And if you don't take care of you, you're not going to be able to give back to the world in the way that you really can, and you can really make an impact. So we cannot give from an empty cup. So just a reminder to take good care of you, and I'll see you on the next episode.